بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, alhamdulillah, we are on our third part of our تفسير سورة بني إسرائيل، سورة الإسراء. And we already reached a very amazing, extraordinary point. We covered last week just the discussion about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and mainly about Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, where we talked about how Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Allah that carried the children of Bani Israel, the ayat say, وآتينا موسى الكتاب وجعلناه هدى لبني إسرائيل ألا تتخذوا من دوني وكيلا. We gave Musa alayhi salam the book and made an extraordinary source of guidance for the children of Bani Israel, that meaning the children of Israel, do not take anyone other than me as a wakil, right? Meaning to take Allah Ta'ala as their only ilah, the only ma'bud, the only one that we have true trust and reliance upon, absolute tawakkul ala Allah Ta'ala. And we showed how this was actually from the first of the 10 commandments given to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam as well. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the virtue of him being a Nabi, and the same manba', he's the same source, because all wahi revelation comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying something to us, and again, because as Muslims, we receive a part of it because, alhamdulillah, we understand Arabic and we can understand some things about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the thing is that when a rabbi or a Jew or a Christian listens to the Quran, they receive something else because they note things that happen in their books as well. So when I mention these things to you today, that's why I want to make sure I make it like a small introduction. They hear verses of the Quran and they recognize parts of their own Bible. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he is saying these ayat, they're coming from Allah Ta'ala. Allah is quoting the Bible before them. And so this becomes a miracle of Rasulullah ﷺ. So for example, Musa ﷺ. Allah Ta'ala says, we gave Musa ﷺ a book and made it an extraordinary source of guidance for Bani Israel, right? So now Musa ﷺ, the first ayah of Isra, أسرى بعبده من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه السميع البصير. This Sami al-Basir is very important. It comes in Surah Taha. When Allah Ta'ala talks about Musa alayhi salam, when Allah speaks about Musa alayhi salam, it says, when Musa alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, I fear going to Fir'aun. Allah Ta'ala says, La takhafa, inni ma'akuma asma'u ara. Allah Ta'ala says, oh Musa, don't be afraid. I am with you. And I'm hearing and I'm listening. I'm seeing and I'm listening. This is the same thing that happened in Surah Isra in the beginning. Asra bi abdi, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, I'm with you. And innahu huwa sami'ul basir, I'm listening and I am seeing. Same exact thing. The second comparison is this one. Musa alayhi salam, when Allah ta'ala calls him to Mount Tur to go speak to him, Musa alayhi salam says, Ajiltu ilayka rabbi litarda. Allah, I rush to you so that you become pleased. But Allah ta'ala says, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Allah ta'ala says, glory be to the one. How perfect is Allah, the one who took his slave. He took him with him, right? He traveled with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? This is a beautiful reminder for us about how great is Musa alayhi salam and what is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. Allah is telling Bani Israel, your Nabi was wonderful and extraordinary. No one ever fought Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. But the level of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khatam al-Nabiyin, is a level so profound. And this is the Khatam al-Nubu'ah. Remember, Bani Israel, they are waiting for a prophet to come. Why are they in Medina? Because they were waiting for a Nabi to come in the Arab lands. And so this is the prophet that's come before them. That's number one. Musa alayhi salam, Allah compares Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this. A one-to-one comparison, really. Then Allah compares him to Nuh alayhi salam. Innahu kana abdan shakura. We spoke about this last time. Abdan Shakura, when did Rasulullah use these words again? He used it in his time of Salah after Tahajjud. Afala kunu Abdan Shakura. If you're looking for a Nabi, Allah is telling Bani Israel, if you're looking for a Nabi that is like Nuh alayhi salam, and if you're looking for a Nabi that is like Musa alayhi salam, don't look any further. Muhammad alayhi salam is right in front of you. Okay? Dhurriyata man hamalna ma'a Nuh is very important. The progeny who he carried with Nuh alayhi salam, by the virtue of his shukr, by the virtue of the shukr of Nuh alayhi salam, he saved from a tufan that destroyed the entire world. From the virtue of his shukr, innahu kana abdan shakura, because he was grateful to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala saved him from the wabal, the calamities and the difficulties of this whole world that was surrounded and submerged in a flood. What does that mean for you and I? That when difficulties come before us, what should we say first and foremost? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. This is why, mashallah, I tell you, Allahu Akbar, someone sent videos, and I don't like to watch too many of these. But this one was just like so heavy. This one man carrying his daughter passed away.
Shahida, right? She's a martyr fi sabilillah ta'ala. She passed away and she's in his hands and he's just reading du'as to her and just telling her everything will be fine and just saying Alhamdulillah, ya Rabbil Alameen. Who is the only one that can give such strength to the Philistine people at this time? Rabbul Alameen. What Allah does telling us from this ayah, that the same way I saved Nuh alayhi salam through his shukr, I can save you from all your problems as well. This dunya is also like a flood, it's like a tufan. Just ride the board, ride the ark, ride the safina of shukr, and you'll be fine. This is what Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did in this difficult year where Khadija radhiyallahu anha was taken from him and Abu Talib passed away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this difficult year, Amul Huzn, Amul Gham, the year of depression and anxiety, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried himself on shukr. And Allah literally carried him to in front of the Arshul Azim. This is Alhamdulillah. Just say, Alhamdulillah, how perfect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahu kana 'abdan shakura. These are two sifat that unfortunately Bani Israel completely forgot. They forgot Allah ta'ala is their wakil, number one. And number two, they forgot to how to be abd shakur. This is something that they're so ungrateful, okay? The next thing I want to speak to you about, I did not take anything from our, except for Biqai. Biqai is the man. If you read tafsir, and you want like, basically points of what's found in the Bible, etc., you read Biqai. It's not translated in English, it's the only thing. Nazm al-Durar, right? Biqai was one of the greatest students of Ibn Hajar Asqalani. Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, had a lot of great students. I was really quick, inshallah. It's a little Thanksgiving break, so let me give you my Thanksgiving, okay? So, Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, passed away 852. Extraordinary, I'm sorry, 862. Extraordinary person, mashallah. I think it was actually 852. He passed away, subhanallah, leaving behind giants in the field of hadith. Sakhawi. Suyuti, right? Suyuti is like a polymath, right? He's Egyptian, mashallah ta'ala. You guys make fakhr of Suyuti, rahimahullah. He's a great man. Suyuti, rahimahullah ta'ala, passed away 9/11. This is kind of funny. Okay, sorry. Okay. Suyuti, rahimahullah ta'ala, was a genius. He was a library. Huwa maktaba fi nafsi, right? He was a library in himself. He made i'tikaf in the library. And subhanAllah, he became a genius upon geniuses. Sakhawi, too, was a genius, too. And Ibn Hajar also had a student called Biqai. Biqai was a wonder, man. He was like the student in the class that was so smart, but used to talk about tafsir. And anyone who talks about tafsir is a little weird. So they didn't really like Biqai. Like, yeah, you speak all this weird stuff. But his tafsir is the most unique tafsir. Allama Kashmiri, rahimahullah, said, if you want to read a tafsir that's never been written like anything before, read Biqai's tafsir. That's how amazing it is, right? MashaAllah. Any case, in there, he speaks about things about Israiliyat and he gives you the parts of the Bible that very much correlate and connect. And he shows you how every ayah of the Quran is connected to one another, why Allah chose this word, why Allah chose that word. It's a beautiful book, amazing book, MashaAllah. Majority of the stuff I'll speak today is from Israeli sources, okay? But the part that Biqai rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, I'm going to mention some of that as well today, inshallah. Allah ta'ala says, again, remember his Subhan. Subhan means Allah is perfect, absolutely perfect. Allah's hukum is perfect, and Allah's kitabs are perfect. Okay, so Allah Ta'ala says, I made wa qadayna from my perfection is that we gave a decree to Bani Israel fil kitab. We made a promise into them in the book. Allah Ta'ala says, I gave them wahi in the kitab. La tufsidunna fil ardi marratain. You will cause corruption in the earth, you will cause mischief in the earth marratain, two times. Right, you will cause mischief in the earth two times. And you will show this level of supremacy, a horrendous supremacy, an evil supremacy. Allah Ta'ala uses two sifat here before we get into it. The one sifat is fasad, the other one is ulu, being high and lofty. These are the same two sifat of fasad and ulu Allah describes Fir'aun with. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Qasas, Inna Fir'auna la'alin fil ard, wa innahu lamina al-mufsidin. It's ajeeb how Allah Ta'ala does it, huh? Allah Ta'ala says, he surely Fir'aun was very lofty. He was very superior in the land. وَإِنَّهُ مِنَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ And he was someone who caused corruption. Allah says of Bani Israel, you will cause corruption and you will be superior like how Fir'aun was superior. You do the same thing Fir'aun did. Allah Ta'ala reminds us that this is the danger. Just because you are my chosen people, you've received the kalima from me, does not mean that you'll be safe from not doing the right amal. You must do the right amal. Or else you do the same things Fir'aun did. So Bani Israel, Allah Ta'ala tells them in the book, you have done this. So this promise comes down to them again and again, again and again. First, it comes down to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, he told Bani Israel after the Ten Commandments. Okay, then I'm gonna tell you something at the end, inshallah, which is like just always every time it blows my mind. Nabi Musa alayhi salam told Bani Israel. However, it's in Deuteronomy. It's mentioned in 28:15. He says, however, if you do not obey your Lord, your God. And do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today. All these curses will come on you and overtake you. You'll be cursed in the country, cursed in the land, your basket and your kneading through will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come, and in curse when you go out, right? Allah Ta'ala gives la'na upon them. To the point that it says, and this is a very interesting one, right near the end, it says that if you do not carefully follow all the words of this law written in this book, the Lord will scatter you among all nations. The Lord will scatter you. Allah Ta'ala will spread them amongst all nations from one end of the earth to the other. Okay? You worship other gods, gods of wood and stone, etc., which you neither knew, you nor your ancestors have known. It's a ajib part. It's so long. I tell you, it's so long. The level of curses is just so long. It just goes on for hours. Like so on. I was reading this, I was like, how am I gonna tell everybody every single lana? Just understand ijmalan, like just in summary. In the beginning, Musa Aisam told them that you will cause mischief and corruption. If you do this, Allah will do something very terrible to you, okay? This is why I made the Mufassirin. They thought, like, when is the two times? Because the thing is that when you look at Bani Israel's history, it happens again and again that they continue to cause corruption. So some of the Mufassirin, for example, said, right after Musa alayhi salam, what happened? They worshipped the calf. This is the first mischief. Does that make sense? A second time, when Musa alayhi salam literally took them to the gates of Quds, said, just enter the land of Jerusalem, you will conquer it. What did Bani Israel do? They said, oh Musa, you and Allah go fight. We'll be here, right? I literally found that verse in here, by the way. It's there. It's crazy. They said, you and Allah go fight. We'll sit here. There's another corruption that they did. What's the third corruption that they did? When Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said, Muhammad, when it came to the time of Talut, right? The majority of the army, they left. They didn't even bother fighting with Talut, to fight against Jalut, right? This is the third time. Bukhtanassar, Isa alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَعُودَ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. Allah says the la'na of Bani Israel has happened twice. One on the tongue of Dawood alayhi salam, which is in Psalms 109. And Isa alayhi salam, which is in Matthew 24. This, I literally found everything. I spent a great deal of time for you to give you thanksgiving, subhanAllah. Okay, to thank you, mashallah, for sitting here, mashallah. I know Allah will reward you, but you make me happy to sit here, mashallah. Trust me. You know, subhanAllah, to find someone that actually wants to listen to Quran, it's very few people these days. May Allah reward you, mashallah, and grant barakah and khayr for you guys. Dawood alayhi salam cursed them. Isa alayhi salam cursed them. Musa alayhi salam cursed them. Subhanallah, like I just going down the list. Jeremiah, Armiya alayhi salam, we'll talk about him in a second. Zakariya alayhi salam was killed by them. Everyone knows that very famously. Yahya alayhi salam also murdered as well. There are many of these Anbiya alayhi salam. Again, in Kings, they mention about how they used to kill prophets. Isa alayhi salam, Matthew 23, right before he tells them that you guys used to kill prophets upon prophets. He started telling them the la'na is coming because of these things. So the mischief is so many. Which one do you choose? Right? What is it about? So then we can look through these ayat and we can figure out what it was. We find the second ayah, the next one. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ أُولَاهُمَا. When the time came for the first one of the two, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُ خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ. When the first promise came, we dispatched against you some servants belonging to us, having strong aggressive power. أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُ خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ. They combed. The verb jasa, jaus, is to go through taraddud, to go through every single home, literally go through every single home and do whatever you want with it. Wajasu khilal, they went between all the homes. Okay, most importantly, which home did they go to over there? Masjidul Aqsa. They were able to go into that sacred land and that sacred area. And what did they do in that area? فَجَاسُ خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ. They combed through these homes, they ripped them and shredded them to pieces. Completely took the whole area of Quds and razed it to the ground. This has happened in basically two times in the time of Bani Israel. One of them was this man named Bukhtanassar. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar. I had to look up his pronunciation too, because that was a mouthful. Bukhtanassar is so much easier in Arabic. In the English, is Nebuchadnezzar. It's so harsh, right? SubhanAllah. So then it's mentioned from Jeremiah, Armiya alayhi salam. He's a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Ibn Kathir mentions about him. He came to Bani Israel and he told all Bani Israel, if you don't return back to Allah, because what did they start to do? You and I don't know a lot of history of Bani Israel. We know up to Musa alayhi salam, and then afterwards it's kind of like a little shady, a little foggy, right? After Musa alayhi salam, who was the next Nabi that took over basically? Harun alayhi salam. After Harun alayhi salam, the boy that traveled with Musa alayhi salam to Khidr. It was with Khidr. There was a little young boy with him, Fatah, right? His name was Yusha. Yusha bin Nun. From the Suhbah of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, he himself becomes a Nabi. Right? So then he becomes the Rasul that is able to take Bani Israel and taking them into Quds, into Air Jerusalem, and conquer the land. So finally, the Jews, they say they have a home. Now this is the time they have the home, right? This is the time they have the home. So at this moment, Yusha alayhi salam is there. But what happens is what? The facade starts to corrupt in, right? They start doing all these weird things. This haram. So Allah takes away the area from them again. Right? This is when the time of Jalut and Talut come in afterwards. Thereafter, when Dawud alayhi salam comes in, he becomes the first, after Talut. Talut is the first king. Thereafter is Dawud alayhi salam. Dawud alayhi salam becomes they call him King David at that time. Thereafter that is Suleiman alayhi salam, right? Suleiman actually builds Masjid al-Aqsa, the first temple there. That's what time of the first temple. Okay? After that, 300 years, Bani Yasir going back and forth between Shirk and Tawheed. In the next 300 years, they go between worshipping Allah and worshipping idols. Ajib. And they build different temples. And they used to say, Waliyahdullah did such things, astaghfirullah, never true. But in any case, they build these temples, worshipping other gods in the area. One god is very famous and known as Baal. Baal. Baal is a Phoenician god. Allah mentions him in the Quran. It's a way later, not enough time right now. For 300 years, they go back between Shirk and Tawheed, Shirk and Tawheed, Shirk and Tawheed. Then finally, when they split, because the land becomes split between two, the area of Judah and Israel, right? Israel is taken over by the Assyrians. The top part is taken over by the Assyrians after 300 years. The lower part is come by this man named Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? Jeremiah talks about him in Jeremiah 25, 9. God says, I will send my servant Nebuchadnezzar against you. Okay? He comes, right? What does he do? He is known, and I'll explain this in a second. He is known as like the greatest of all the Babylonian kings. And he goes into the area of Judah, which is the area of Jerusalem and everything. He goes in there and he sees everything that they have. He raises all the buildings to the ground. He destroys Masjid al-Aqsa completely. Completely destroys it. Okay? In the Bible, he says, my servant Nebuchadnezzar. Right? But what is the problem with Nebuchadnezzar? Is he a Muslim? Well, to shirk, yeah. He did shirk. Right? So why would God ever say that that is my servant? So the Quran actually corrects the Bible very, very slightly. Allah says, "Ibadal lana." They're slaves that belong to us, not that they're my true slaves. He's not abduhu, right? He's not like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're slaves because they're my property, but they're not my true slaves, which is why Allah does separates them slightly. The Bible actually makes a slight mistake here. Why would God ever say Nebuchadnezzar? Do you know what his name means? The one who has Nebu. Nebu is one of the gods of the Mesopotamian area. Nebu, he watched over this boy. Ajib, he's a mushrik through in and throughout. The Quran, ibadal lana, it separates it. He says, yes, he has a lot of power, but he's not really my slave. Okay? They'll come to you, they'll raise all the houses, they'll burn it. So then it's very historically inaccurate. From archaeology, you see that the area has been burned to the ground as well. Okay? So at this moment, after 500, Bani Said has been exiled. They've been taken and scattered to just different lands. Every single place, the Babylonians, they separated the Jews. They said, you're not allowed to live together. And they completely defaced and disgraced these people. Then we gave you your turn against them. We gave you a second chance back. So this happens in the time of Cyrus the Great. Cyrus is a Persian king, and he's a just man. He's a candidate to be Dhulqarnain. That's the Surah Al-Kahf a couple of weeks later. We're not there yet. He's a candidate to be Dhulqarnain because why? The Jews, they thought he was a prophet. Cyrus comes and he defeats the armies and he says, he makes a rule. He says that all the Jews are allowed to return to Jerusalem. SubhanAllah. We will increase your strength, your wealth, and your sons. We'll make you many in number. Right? So Allah gives them that promise. Now, subhanAllah, they're back there. And now, what do they start to do again? Then they start to worship other than Allah again. These are the people that Allah chose to be His true servants. Yet they're committing shirk and all these different haram. They're literally. Waliyadu billah, areas of prostitution in the area of Jerusalem. Could you imagine? Waliyadu billah al-azim. They used to gamble and used to do all these treacherous things inside Masjid al-Aqsa. Isa alayhi salam comes and says, how do you do all this robbery inside Masjid al-Aqsa itself? So he says in Matthew 24, Isa alayhi salam says, and this is one interpretation. There's another one which we'll talk about in a second. But like this is one interpretation. Isa alayhi salam, he tells his disciples, he passes by Masjid al-Aqsa and he says, this will be taken down again. It said there will be no building or brick on top of each other. The whole thing will be decimated again. The disciples hear this and they're so surprised and shocked. How could this happen? The Jews have been power for about 300 something years, 500 years or so. Really strong, right? Really firm, really powerful. How could it be? The Romans, by like, you know, they started to introduce different temples in the area again of Israel. They started to introduce temples of worshiping Zeus and different things. So what happened was after they tried to kill Isa alayhi salam, which they didn't do, He goes up. This is the most crazy part. In Daniel, which is another book, okay? In Daniel, he talks about how the rule and the reign of the Jews would be for 70. 70, 70, 70. Okay? So they say Isa alayhi salam, he left this world around 0 AD, right? And now, when did the Jews lose Masjid al-Aqsa again? 70 AD. In the course of 70 years, they lose everything. Similarly, when they start to go corrupt and facade and start to do terrible things, Allah that takes away from 70. Similarly, subhanAllah, we see that the Dawr and the Qaur continues to happen like this. They keep it for 70, lose it for 70, keep it for 70, lose it for 70, etc., etc. So then they go against the Romans again, they go into Masjid al-Aqsa, they raise it, they tear it down to the ground again. This is the second temple that they built, right? The first one is at Sulaiman alayhi salam. Second one is this time, okay? Now they're currently waiting for a third one. Right, and this is when we get into too much. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ This is the Arabic, right? إِذَا جَاءَ When the second promise comes. This is the question. This is why some people they brought up today recently, they said that has the second promise happened yet, right? And I thought about it for a while because I was like, why are they asking this question? Because the Arabic is, it's a little bit up there. إِذَا means when, in the future. إِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ When Allah is talking to Bani Israel right now, face to face, Allah said the first one happened. When the second one will happen. Does that make sense? So it either, like some ulama said, Biqai, he went up to the Jews and he brought them, this is our interpretation. These are the two times that it happened. One was in the time of Bukhtanassar and Nebuchadnezzar. Second time was the time of Isa alayhi salam. They said that this is true. This has happened to us. These are the two times that God has promised us in our book. Biqai went and confirmed it for us. But there's a possibility of what? When the second one happens in the future, which hasn't happened yet. Which is a little bit too we continue. We can't do this right now. Okay. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ لِيَسُوءُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ When the second promise comes, then your faces will become disgraced. And so wujuh in Arabic is used for leaders. So then what did the Romans do? They took all the leaders and they scattered them again. The same way they were scattered the first time, they scattered a second time. And they're never able to get back the area again. Never again. For a long, long time, they were Jews who were not even allowed access into that area. Who allowed them to come back? The Muslims. You should know your history. The first ones that gave peace to Isa, to the people of Nasraniyin and the Yahudi, the Jews and the Christians, but the Muslims are allowed them to come to Jerusalem and live there peacefully. And with Afia, they live for a long time. It's not just whatever people think about Philistine. Philistine is a new term. This area, mashallah, has always been under Muslim lands, mashallah. Quds, Sham, it was known as Sham. Lebanon, Syria, all this stuff was one area. Strong, powerful area, Sham, the ulama of Sham, are very well known. Having said that, this is the area, mashallah, that Allah Ta'ala kept under protection for such a long time. Allah Ta'ala says, In ahsantum, ahsantum anfusikum. If you do good, you do good for yourself. When asattum, if you do bad, falaha, it's going to happen again and again. Okay? And this is what continuously happens. So why am I mentioning this with so much detail for everyone? Is I want everyone to understand something very important. And this is the last thing that we'll finish on. Is that Muslims, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala is telling us his ayat, not in the Torah. Where are these ayat coming? In the Quran. Because Allah is telling us a very important rule about Masjid al-Aqsa. Very important, daqiq, very precise rule. Allah Ta'ala says, if you do good, in ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. If you do good, you did good for yourself, I will give you Masjid al-Aqsa again. When asattum, and if you do bad, falaha, you'll see what happens again. This is all because of the wabal of our own guna and our sins. People have left Allah, not become wakil, not taking Allah as their wakil anymore. And people have not done shukr of Allah Ta'ala properly anymore. Because of this haram that we've done against ourselves, Allah says, no more Masjid Al-Aqsa for you. Asa Rabbukum ayyarhamakum. Perhaps your Lord will have mercy on you. Allah Ta'ala tells us right after he says that they will enter the masjid and they'll destroy it and do everything, whatever they did. They will do وَيُتَبِّرُ مَا عَلَوْا تَتْبِيرًا Whatever they built, they will destroy it. Asa Rabbukum ayyarhamakum. Perhaps your Lord will have mercy on you. When عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا If you return again, we'll return again. Allah to reminds us very powerfully through these ayat. Remember this, inshallah. As a reminder for myself, for everyone, our sins have an impact on the earth. When you do khati and khataya, and you do atham, you do guna, you make haram, Allah to showed you that in this world. You'll see the wabal and the adab will come. Either it comes on the whole ummah, it comes on your family, it comes on your friends. Somewhere Allah to will show you that this is because of what you did with your own hand. Now correct yourself and make yourself better, inshallah. This is what Allah is reminding us here. Become like Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? This is the ummah, subhanAllah, that Allah has left the door of tawbah open for everyone. You make 50,000 mistakes, Allah will forgive you 51,000 times. This is Rabbul Alameen. Asa Rabbukum ayyarhamakum, right? So may Allah grant us tawfiq, inshallah. I hope everyone enjoyed our Jewish lesson, mashallah, that I promised last week. May Allah grant us all tawfiq, inshallah. Protect us and protect everyone, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. And grant us afiyah, Ya Rab. Anyone have any questions? Yes.
I'm wondering if you know if humans have any idea about the jinn, if they have any concept of the jinn in their tradition, and what it would be.
So there's a very good question, which is the question of do they have any concept of the Dajjal, about an Antichrist. So there are mentions like here and there, but like very interestingly, it was like during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is mentioned that when they because they don't the Prophet sifat were always there, right, in the Torah, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you could point to him, right? And so there's a lot of concealing now, tahrif, what we call, right, interpolation and destruction of the text. And I, you know, if you're wondering where the Torah is in all this place, it's a whole mess. Like, I recommend the book, History of the Quranic Text, Mustafa Azami. He has the whole discussion about the Torah and the Bible, how it was preserved at the end of the book. He spends his whole book talking about how the Quran was preserved. And at the end, he talks about, yeah, this is, by the way, just to let you all know how other books were preserved, not as good, you know? So, in there, any case, they the time of the Prophet, sorry, some the sifat were there. And so when the books were brought before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, these are the sifat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your book. They said, oh no, that's not the prophet we're waiting for. They pointed at another one, which is like the description of Dajjal. They said, this is the Messiah that we're waiting for. This is the Masih that we're waiting for. Okay, which is crazy. Okay. So, like, again, like, you know, SubhanAllah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioned, but they actually acknowledge the false Messiah as their true Messiah, right? Because they could not look, Allah sent Isa Alaihi Wasallam to them. He was Masih too, right? He was the one that was chosen by Allah Ta'ala. And then said Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, SubhanAllah, they don't have any other option after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Does that make sense? There's no other prophet to come. So they chose someone who's their false Messiah to become their true Messiah. Wallahu alam again. Right? But this is why they really wanted to develop the third temple, etc., and all these different things that are there. But then we get into too much extra stuff, which may not be in the discussion today. Does that address your question? This is, by the way, I mentioned all these verses of the Bible and the Torah. Who's Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Does he know how to read or write? How does he know all this stuff? I'm telling you, the rabbis asked a question to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this all this stuff is coming to them tafsilan with detail. This is a miracle of the Quran. You have to understand, this book is divine. It came from Allah Ta'ala. This is a proof of Allah Ta'ala's Subhan, His perfection. He said, I gave to my Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam things that no one else knew, and he didn't know how to read or write. He's in Makkah, for Allah's sake. SubhanAllah. You think there are Jews there telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by the way, this is what happened in our difficult times? You think Jews come talk to you about their difficult times? Oh, by the way, this is what happened. My wife left me, all this stuff. No Jew talks to you about that. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was told all this stuff from Allah Ta'ala. That's a very good question. Any other question? What was the name of the book? The name of the book is History of the Quranic Text. History of the Quranic Text by Mustafa Azami. I really recommend it, mashallah. It's a really nice book. Take inshallah. Jazakum khairan.